saying with me, if you'd turn to the 13th chapter of Revelation. Sorry, hard to get past this because it's these great personages that are being revealed. And to me, they're interesting. I don't know about you, but they really interest me. Let's read from chapter 13, verse 11 through 18, okay? Would you stand with me? And I'll read verse 11 and you read 12 and so on. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon.
And he exercised the law and the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed.
And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men.
And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, which had the wound by the sword, and did live.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
And he healed us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads.
And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Here is the wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast,
for it is the number of man, and his number is 666.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation of it and what it tells us. We thank you, Lord, for so great a salvation.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for so great a Savior.
Amen.
We thank you that the Holy Spirit of God leads us and guides us and helps us and touches us. And Lord, you're wise, and we trust your wisdom.
Amen.
Bless this morning. Bless the reading of your word. Bless the preaching and teaching. Give me freedom and ease to speak as only you can give. And touch each heart and life that's here. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've gone over some of these verses, but I thought we needed to go back that far at least. Verse 7, we have another beast. And we have the first beast, which is the Antichrist, coming up out of the sea. And this another beast coming up out of the earth. And so that could be Israel. It could be Patmos. And coming from a different place than the sea, though. And you have the three unholy trinity. You have devil. Then you have the Antichrist, which is the first beast. And then you have the anti-Holy Spirit, which is the second beast that's coming out. And so that's what the whole chapter is about. It's talking, actually you've seen in this chapter, this man, the Antichrist, will have 42 months, 3.5 years, and he will control everything. Now you know, if you control the finances, you're pretty powerful. If you control the politics, you're pretty powerful. If you control religion, you're pretty powerful. What if you have all three? Very seldom does a dictator get to the place where he can really control all three. This man's going to have all three. And that's what we're talking about here as we finish out this chapter. I hope I finish it today. Such is life. I might chase too many rabbits. I hope not. Okay. Verse 12, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast. That's just like the Holy Spirit exercised all the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we've got, the same sort of thing. Causeth the earth and them that dwell in to worship the first beast. The Holy Spirit does not cause you to worship the Holy Spirit. That's one of my problems with some of the churches today and what they emphasize. They emphasize the Holy Spirit so much that it seems like it's taking away the glory that ought to be going to Christ himself. And so what we have here is an example of doing just what the Holy Spirit does. Now notice what it says here. He has In verse 11, he hath two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. He looks like Jesus, the Lamb of God, who's taken away the sin of the world. He looks like Jesus, but he talks like the devil. Isn't that what it tells you? Very plain scripture. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. If you are convinced by magician's tricks, if you are looking for some outward sign, you just might be in trouble. I want you to understand something. The signs in the Bible are never for the church. Signs are for the Jews. If you get that little thought in your mind as you're reading these signs, signs are for the Jews. Faith is for the church. And so don't be you trying to predict the church because of some sign that you've read in the Old Testament or whatever. You're going down the wrong alley, I think. And that's just a word of advice. Signs for the Jew, faith for the church. At any rate, he doeth great wonders. Well, like we talked about Elijah, I didn't mention it last week. When those soldiers came up to get him, and he just says, if I be a prophet of God, boom, they burned up. Second thing to learn. He went up there, did the same thing. Come down, the king commands you to come down. He said, if I be a servant of God, boom, fire comes down from heaven and kills him and his 50. And the third guy said, oh, my Lord Elijah, probably, he's, have mercy upon me. I got a wife and five kids back at the house, you know. Please, 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 I have to do this, you know. And he was merciful to him. Well, that's the kind of power that the prophets of the Old Testament had. And this holy, anti-Holy Spirit, this one that comes and makes you worship the Antichrist, that's his job. His job is to make you worship the Antichrist as we worship Christ. Okay? The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus Christ. It's never to glorify the Holy Spirit. It's to glorify Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit is glorifying Jesus Christ, souls are going to get saved. Lives are going to be changed. Faith is going to be strengthened. And so what we have here is him doing the work that, like the Holy Spirit does for spiritual things. Doeth great wonders. Fire come down from heaven in the sight of all men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. You know, I don't know how to say it. It's like we have here, I don't know how many times I've heard it, and they put it on the news, and they will have a picture of the Virgin Mary on a tree or something. Or they'll have some other something like that. And people will be lined up to where people can't get in and out of their houses because of people going to them. I used to think it'd be nice to live close to a school. It really isn't. How about living close to a football stadium of a high school? You got certain days of the week you don't get in and out of your house at certain times. And that's the way it is. People say, oh, I want to see this vision, this message from God. It's not for us. It's not for us. We believe the message that God gave. We believe the testimony of those that saw what he did. Amen. That's what we're saying. When we say believe the Bible, we're believing the testimony of eyewitnesses. And they said they knew him for 3 years, day and night. They slept with him. They ate with him. They walked with him. They preached with him. They learned from him. And they said, he's alive. I saw him. And so have you believed that testimony? Yes. Do you have any proof of it? Did you see him? No, you haven't seen him. You might have had a vision. I had a vision one time. I don't know whether it was a bad dream or not, but I saw the Lord, you know. But I didn't go around saying, hey, man, I've now got the spirit of prophecy, blah, 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 you know. No. That was just a dream. And never had it again. So do you have these things? Well, don't trust in anything that you can see. Amen. Don't trust anything you can see. People are really good at deceiving people. Salesmen and you know, people, these scam artists call you up and say, we're going to come by and arrest you if you don't go down and get so many cards for us or something. Money. It's just crooked. Well, right here, he's going to deceive the multitudes of the world that wouldn't believe by faith. Who's he getting a hold of now? The church is gone. The church is in heaven. Church is probably up there looking down on things going on. They're rejoicing. The rapture's already taken place. It's the 144,000 Jewish witnesses that are on the earth, and then all the Jews, and then any others that will believe through their testimony. And so, he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, verse 14, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them he should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. There have been so many things. When John F. Kennedy was shot, there were preachers preaching he was going to be resurrected and be alive, and he would be the Antichrist. They've made Napoleon Bonaparte the Antichrist. They've made certain popes the Antichrist or whatever. When we get through this chapter, you're going to find out they're just not reading their Bibles. They're going with what they think in their head rather than what is said in the Word of God. And if you'll understand the Word, the testimony of the last living apostle and the only book of prophecy in the New Testament, there's other prophecies in the New Testament. There's no book of prophecies except this one. So I think he meant it for a purpose. Now verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Well, you want to look for God? Here he is. Take this statue that you've made, this image you've made of the Antichrist. Make it speak. Make it live. That'd be a pretty powerful message, wouldn't it? Something tell me, him make that chair stand up and start talking to me. Wow. Must be of God, right? No. You can't trust these eyes. You better trust what the book says. Because all sorts of things will be done. I have even had visions at time of life. Not very often. But they were just as real to me as they could possibly be. And that scares me. I can't trust my eyes. I can't trust what I see. I can't trust what I hear. I can trust what I've written in this book. If you interpret it right, interpret the Bible by the Bible, and you do some things. These are great wonders. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, how about that for a miracle? That's about as big a miracle as you could ask for. That the beast should both, the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Well, that's sort of a recollection of Rome. You either worshiped the emperor or they killed you. That's why a lot of Christians died, a lot of Jews died. They would not offer incense to the Roman emperor, whoever he was. Caesar or Hadrian or Nero. All of these, isn't it amazing you get such power that I'm a God? Do you think like that? They did. And they made people do it. And I don't know why, just power. People, we think about sex and we think about drugs and alcohol, cigarettes. These are all things that people get hooked on. These people get hooked on power. We got people right up there in Washington hooked on power. We got people right here in San Antonio. Why would you spend millions of dollars to be the mayor or, and I'm not talking bad about the mayor, but to be the mayor of a great big city? Why spend $20 million to become president of the United States, or I don't know, it might have been $100 million, I don't know, for a job that pays $400,000? You understand? It's power. And these guys that lose their power, it hurts them. They crave it like you crave sex or food or cigarettes or alcohol or whatever else you might be hooked on. Going to make the image of the beast speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now let me ask you something. Would that be an incentive for you to say, yes, sir, I worship your God? That's a pretty big incentive. They're going to kill you. And some people think, oh, no big deal. I lie all the time anyway. You know? Yeah. Right? Just tell another lie in front of them. Oh, yeah, holy, holy master. Oh, I'll bow down to you. You want me to offer incense? Sure. Money? Yeah. What's your life worth? What would you give to stay alive? Think about the people that lied saving Jews during World War II. Many of them were Christians. But they lied to protect the lives of some Jews there. Well, a lot of people are going to just do what they tell them to do with the threat of death. They don't want to go to prison. What happens to your kids if you go to prison? What happens to your wife if you go to prison? What happens to your mother and father if you're not there to take care of them? Wow. These are incentives. And there's an even bigger one. Now, verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, some of you have done this to your dogs already. Yeah. A little bitty deal, and they take a hypodermic needle, and they put it in the arm, or they put it in the back. And anybody that picks up your dog, he has a reader. It'll give him your name, your telephone number, date and hours that you want to be called. They're doing that to kids. They're doing that to kids so that if your kid's stolen, it makes sense, doesn't it? It looks like, yeah, I'm protecting my family. But it's the technology that was around until just a few years ago. Nowhere in the Bible you're going to find anything like that except right here. And this is still the future. You know, I guarantee you, I've studied a lot of history and I've read a lot of Bible. This hasn't happened yet. He's going to call all, did you get that all? Both small and great, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, what have we seen the devil take over in just this chapter? Political power, religious power, economic power. That's it. Now, many dictators have been able to do that in their country for a few that they conquered. But the greatest conquerors never conquered the whole world. This Antichrist will conquer the whole world and control it for 3.5 years by God's will. Woo! You're going to need some faith to mess with that one. Can you trust God? How about old Job? Job is the example. I don't believe Job had a verse of scripture written in his life, in his time. I believe it's the oldest scriptures that we have. I believe the book of Job is that old. He didn't have the books of Moses. And you know what? Job said, when he lost his 10 children and his wife told him to curse God and die, he said, shall we receive good at the hands of the Lord and not evil? That's faith. You know what Job is saying? Everything that comes to me comes from God. Do you know that's the truth? Jesus told Peter, the devil wants you. He didn't say, I'm going to deliver you. He didn't say, I'm not going to let him have you. He said, when you get converted, strengthen your brother. Remember, it's not so much your faith. And a whole lot of people that preach faith, they really are putting it in a wrong light. It's the trial of your faith that's more precious than gold. Okay, I'm going to name it and I'm going to claim it. Well, what is that? You named it and you claimed it. Praise God, you got it. Whatever. Boy, you've got great faith. No, your faith wasn't tested at all, was it? No, it's when you're like Job and you lose 10 children and your wife is, man, she'd be mad at you for 10 children. My wife would have been. She said, I had a lot of jobs. The best one I ever had was being mother. Man, if I would have been the cause of those 10 children dying, even though I was praying. Job was praying for his children. You pray for yours? You ought to. He's, day by day, he's praying for his children. And he loses them all. And he's a wealthy man and he loses all of his wealth. And he's a healthy man and he loses his health. Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? You got any faith like that? I tell you what, I've been pastoring over 60 years. I've heard an awful lot of sweet Christians blame God, get mad at God. What are you going to do when something happens you don't understand? Do you believe God's got your life under His control? I do. I really do. I don't want to be tested. I don't want to be tested. I'm not trying to put myself up as an example for a test. But I do believe that. I believe Job had it right. And your faith ought to be in this great big God. Is He to you? The more I learn, the bits. They stretch out that universe and our greatest scientists with all of our things, they can't find anything. They don't understand. Do you understand gravity? You live with it every day. I'm back and forth right here because of gravity. That's why I'm not floating up in the ceiling. Gravity. If they could figure out how to bypass gravity, then they could have a little space going from boop, boop, you know, right to there, nothing flat. But it's not there. All right. Causeth bold, all, both, bold and great, rich and poor, in bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. It's going to come down. You know, right now you are a little trouble if you don't have some magnetic identification on you. We're there already. I was around before Social Security was so big. In fact, I was 9 years old when I got my first job that I needed a Social Security card. I was 9. I've had my Social Security number that long. You know something? There were preachers back there saying, mark of the beast, mark of the beast, mark of the beast, you know. You got to have the number of his name. Right now, we have grown up to computers are in everything. My car's old, but I bet it's got 50 or 60 computers in it. Just because of the seatbelt retractor, I'd spend $500 for a computer. Or it wouldn't pass inspection. Couldn't drive it. And it's not just, you know, go in there like you used to and replace the wire or the spring. No, there's a computer controls the whole stupid thing, and you had to do that. I did not like that. Everything, and it's getting worse and worse. David back there has got what looks like a watch on his arm. No, that's the Library of Congress. That's the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's a whole lot of other things. It contacts you to everywhere. They're fascinating. And people are so fascinated that, in fact, they can do it on their watch. Yeah. On their watch. I remember reading Dick Tracy and his wristwatch when I was a kid. I blew it off that. Never happened. It's here. Bless your heart, I live long enough to see it. I don't want to learn how to do it. But I live long enough to see it. Okay, no man might buy or sell. Now, what are you going to do if you can't buy or sell? you're dead. You're dead. You either start a revolution, and I don't know where you get your guns and get your bullets if you're going to start a revolution, because you can't buy or sell. You have to have the mark, like they're putting in babies and dogs right now, and they'll put one in you if they want, you want one. Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now here's wisdom. I want you to notice this verse 18, and I want you to remember it. You might ought to mark it. There were days when I, 40 years ago, when I was teaching Revelation, there were preachers that were preaching that the beast was the computer over there in Europe. I don't know what you know about it. It was a huge computer that took up rooms. They called it the beast. And so some of the preachers are saying, "Ooh, that's the Antichrist. That's the Antichrist." And they were all afraid of the computers because it was the Antichrist. Let me tell you something. This little verse 18 is one of those verses that if you get it down, it'll save you a lot of problems on other things. Read it now. Here is wisdom. You want some wisdom? Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Well, now, there have been a whole lot of people doing it. You see, in Roman numerals, they're not only letters, they are numbers. And so you can take a person's name, spell it out, and each one of those letters has a different number, and you get 666. Okay? For it is the number of a man. It's not the number of a computer. It's not the number of a government. It is the number of a man. Here's the Antichrist. He's 666. Just a thought on that. What is the prick number? 7. What would be perfection? 7-7. What would be a little less than perfection? 666. All right. Throw it in for good measure. Not quite perfect, but awful powerful. We're not talking about some dumb cluck. We're not talking about some guy that can't read and write. We're going to talk about a great soldier. Now look at our movies today, and a lot of them I really don't like. I like some of the old movies. I like to look at them. They can sometimes make me cry. They can make me laugh. They can make me feel good, you know. I love certain movies. I don't say they're spiritual. I'm not spiritual that way. I understand. That's just entertainment. That's just wasting time for me. You know, wait until I can get around and teach a little more of the book of Revelation. Number of a man. What kind of man is this? Well, he's going to be... David was a great man, and man, we still know him. We read what he wrote. We don't sing what he, songs he created, but we read the words at any rate. He was a great soldier. He was a brave person. He was a good looking guy. Who's your hero today? Superman, Batman, Iron Man, Black Panther? Let me tell you something. This guy's going to be a Superman. He is. He's going to be smart. Smarter than anybody you ever met. He's going to be strong. He's going to have wisdom in controlling. And he is, for 3.5 years, going to control religion, economics, and government. He'll do whatever dictator wanted to do, but never did get to it. None of them ever made it. Alexander the Great laid down and cried, they say, because he didn't have any place else to conquer, but he didn't make it. Hitler didn't make it. He got back Germany. Most of what had been Germany was broken up and whatever. Yeah, he did that. He put them back. He took them out of depression. I said he was a political genius one time, and one of my student teachers that didn't like me that much, she turned me in. He loves Hitler. I don't love Hitler. I hate the stupid idiot. Amen. I'd have shot him if I'd have got a chance. I'd have preached to him after I got saved. But The man was smart enough to conquer 5, 6, 7 countries without even firing a shot. He beat his generals and things like that, but he never got anything like this. He didn't get far enough. Nobody else did either. Napoleon had a battle at Waterloo, and it finished Napoleon's dreams of great conquering. Now, it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, I want you, I don't know whether you desecrate your Bible by writing it or doing whatever, but you really ought to put at the end of verse 18 or somewhere right around there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then you turn to that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, we've been listening to John teach us about the Antichrist. Now, let's listen to what Paul has to say. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, the Christ came in two ways. He comes, picks us up in the rapture, and then he comes back with us to rule 7 years later. By the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. He said it's not ready yet. Things haven't happened. It's not at hand. This coming of Christ, it's not at hand yet. Let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, a son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Christ is not coming back to rule and reign, let me tell you, until this man is revealed. That's what he's telling you. Now, I don't know how many years ago it was, and some of you probably don't remember it all, didn't catch your attention. There was a guy in England that sent out bought full-page ads or big ads in newspapers around the world that the Christ has come, and he was there. He was in England right at that time. Well, it didn't work out. You know, a few days later, you find out, where is he, you know? And there was a big stir in the newspapers and whatever. He says he's not coming. Don't let any man deceive you, verse 3. Let no man deceive you, verse 3. There got to be a falling away, and the man of sin must be revealed. This guy's going to be revealed. He's going to be known. You're going to be able to see him. Maybe the world can't see him like you'll see him. But if you're a Bible believer and you've studied what God says about him, you'll know him when he rises up. When he starts talking like God. What was that guy's name? They went down to Belize or someplace like that. And Jim Jones. Set up there in his big throne up down the big thing in front of his congregation of these crazy worshipers. I am God. That'd been the time that I'd have snuck right out the door. Yeah. Boom. The minute that man said, I am God, I'd have said, woo, I'm getting out of this place right here. This guy's a nut. He doesn't know his Bible. He probably didn't know his Bible. Anyway. Okay. Remember ye not, verse 5, that when I was with you, I told you these things. Now he's writing back to them, and he's trying to keep them from being deceived by people in his day, preachers in his day, trying to take people away to follow them because they're teaching Christ is coming around the week. Who was it here a while back? Everybody's getting ready to get on a spaceship. They had a bunch of people. They were ready to get on. Another time, they got them. Everybody sold all their goods and went up a mountain and got on white sheets. You remember some of these things? They're in the paper if you notice them every once in a while. Well, a falling away first, man of sin be revealed. He is above all that is called God and is worshiped, as he is God, showing himself as God. Remember you not when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now ye know what holdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Holding, and they're going to use the word let. In this case, the word let is hinder. It's what it meant in the days this was written. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth hinders, Holy Spirit, church, till he be taken out of the way. And the Holy Spirit goes up with the church at rapture. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they love not, they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them. God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that all may be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You need to read these verses with chapter 13 down at the end where you got 666. Now, looking at this, it's a number of a man. Is he alive today? I have no idea. I learned a long time ago that I'm not a prophet. I am a smart aleck Texas country boy that got a little education and read the Bible. Got saved. And I know better than thinking I can predict anything. And I've sort of got this thing that's in me that says that if I think I'm smart, then God's going to show me how dumb I am. I open my mouth simply to take one foot out and put the other foot in. I'm thankful I got the Word of God, that when I present it right, I'm doing the truth. Because I'm an idiot about half the time. And my daddy did his best to raise me. And I feel sorry for him and my mother. They had to raise me. And he was always trying to get me to think like he thought. And he was a smart man. Wasn't well educated, but he was very wise. And you know, he would try to tell me, you're not special. You're not special. Put yourself in the averages. What happens to most people is probably going to happen to you. And if you think you can get, you know, what do crooks do? They think they're going to get away. People kill people. They think they're going to get away. And some of them do. Some of them don't. People steal things. Why? They don't think they're going to get caught. They're great optimists. Now, I am a somewhat extremist. Just my nature. If I play tennis, I play it hard. I play it to win. If I played cards, I played cutthroat. I played to win. And I was pretty lucky most of my life. But my daddy kept telling me, you're not that special, kid. I am still an extremist. I know I am. And so I have to watch myself. Because I could go overboard on something, you know. Do you have any problems like that? I know I'm speaking to somebody besides me. You think you're smart enough that you can buy this? Or you think you're not going to get caught? Or if most people, how could you possibly become an alcoholic if you are a teetotaler? Question, you know, just. Somebody says, well, you don't want those playing cards in your house. And they're just nothing but, you're right, they're nothing for everybody else. But for me, it was something I had to deal with. So I'm an extremist. My kids never had a playing deck card. Because I was a gambler, and that's what my gambling was, poker. I didn't like dice, man. I liked poker. I liked to gamble. When I tried to go into business for myself one time, and I went into commodities. And Verlene said, "You're just going back into gambling." And there's a certain amount of truth in that, too. You got to watch yourself. I know I'm an extremist, okay? When I went for Christ, I went all the way. Didn't make any difference to me if you liked it, didn't like it, hurt your feelings, whatever. I'm going to serve the Lord. And it blessed me. I read the book, New Testament, 20 times the first year. Quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling. Those aren't all the bad things that I did, but that's what I quit. Put yourself, recognize how you are. You know what you are. Some of you, you won't take a step for fear. Anything. And some of you don't have a brain in your head when it comes to walking across the street. Am I right? We're talking about one super guy. And he's going to control everything. What are you going to do? Because it's not going to be you. Well, could be you if you're left behind when the rapture takes place. Sure could be you. You just might be in this room, not saved. And when the rapture takes place, church is gone, you're left behind. I don't know whether you can get saved like that or not. I really don't. I just know this is one interesting chapter of the Bible. Wow. Well, Lord bless you. Maybe I'll get to chapter 14 next time.